Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. It's great to have you if you're just joining the program. We're going to have the Ag Report coming up here in a few minutes. In the meantime, mortgage rates rose for the first time. 30-year mortgage rose for the first time in 2019, obviously. But they're expected to fall from here. So the fixed rate 30-year mortgage average now is 4.46%. That's a great number, by the way. That is really, really good. I wouldn't be too overly concerned. It went up a few ticks, but nothing to be concerned about. So, and they're expected to drop a little bit from here. So mortgage rates up a little bit. That's not the good news, but there is some good news. New home sales, 657,000. They were expecting 570, I think. So that's a huge number. That is a very big number. Again, this is an adjusted annual rate through the month of November. And this is put out by the Commerce Department, and it sure does look good. I mean, this is a great number. You know, it was interesting because I for one, I don't know about everybody else, but when the builder confidence number came out in December, and it was up pretty good, I was thinking, yeah, it's kind of odd. I mean, it should be taken as a really good thing because, you know, builder confidence in the month of December doesn't necessarily go up when we're headed into cold weather, but it did. And well, now I know why the money was rolling in for these builders based on what happened in November. So this is a very good new home sales number. I would expect that this is going to free up some, you know, the mentality that let's get out there and generate some new home inventory. And I would suspect that buyers are still out there and we have good mortgage rates with the idea that, if anything, mortgage rates are going to go down, not up. It was obvious yesterday from the Federal Reserve comments that, look, we're gonna keep on plugging along. We're not going to be raising rates. Very dovish attitude. This is all very good. It's going to be good for home builder sentiment. It's going to be good for home builders in general. It's going to be good for home buyers. So good stuff. Good stuff. Also, we heard yesterday from the Federal Reserve that the fundamentals, you've heard me say this for a long time, that the fundamentals look very, very strong. The fundamentals of the markets look very strong. That's because the fundamentals of the economy have not changed. They've stayed strong. So, you know, we have that to be thinking about. Dow did move in a little bit more in a positive direction after the home builder numbers came out. It dropped down to just being below 50% down, about 50%, a half of 1%, drop below 0.50, but back up a little bit now. So we'll see where that all shakes out. All right, we've got our Ag Report coming up in a few minutes, and we're going to go to break, and then we'll get to phones. But I want to share this with you. Deutsche Bank. So 6 months ago, there was talk in Germany in reference to a merger between Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank. Commerce Bank is the second largest bank in Germany, Deutsche Bank being the largest bank in Germany. Deutsche Bank's got major problems. I've been talking about it for a year and a half. It's been a concern of mine. And Commerce Bank has problems. Here's the problem with the problems. The problems are different. So Commerce Bank's problems are a different set of circumstances, a different set of concerns and worries than are Deutsche Bank's. So I got an idea. Let's merge the two banks so that we can cover with one bank all the problems you could possibly have. This is a huge, huge mistake. I'll tell you what it may be good for. And it just goes to show, if the government allows this merger, which it right now it's looking like they're going to, it means that the government plays a far bigger role in controlling the banks than anybody had expected, certainly than I've expected. It also sets up the German government to basically be, I don't want to make it sound like Germany in any stretch of the imagination is leaning towards a dictatorship or communism. I don't want to sound like that. But look, you've got a government now that is going to somehow, now here's the first time I can say, here's the good thing about the Eurozone. They can't manipulate their currency, right? They can't do that because it would be manipulating the currency of the entire zone. They can't do that. But it does give them some leverage and some leeway for a number of things. When you've got the largest financial institution in the country having zero competition, that is not healthy. It's not good. And it ought to be some concern. Now, it is a lot of concern to me because I'm looking out 2 years from now. I'm looking out 2-3 years from now. I'm looking out what could come of this and how the Eurozone is positioning itself. And it's not a good thing. So now you could have Italy already in trouble, Spain already in trouble from a banking perspective, a lot of other European nations that are concerned, economy is slowing, and they have to be under the thumb of what is said in Brussels. Doesn't matter what is good for their country in particular, it only matters what's good for the globalism of the European zone. And all of this is not going to be good, in my opinion. And I think it's a mistake. And you're hearing it here first, and you're only going to hear it here. So I need to tell you that. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Here's our Ag Report, Craig Haugart. We'll be right back after this.
This is Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market traded higher yesterday on technical buying, firmer cash markets and lack of movement, and a weaker U.S. dollar. Country movement was quiet with some operations closed while many were not open for dumping truck grain because of frigid temperatures around the U.S. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a half cent lower. The soybean market chopped around as it was supported by talks of disappointing yields in Brazil in hopes for good things to come from the Chinese trade talks. Forecasts call for chances of rain in Brazil next week, and that added some pressure to the market. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 3 cents. The wheat market traded weaker early in the session yesterday as poor demand outlook pressured prices lower. Prices then turned higher midday on weakness in the U.S. dollar and closed up for the session. Bottom line is that the wheat market continues to trade in a fairly tight trading range with the absence of current information from the USDA. Maybe that February 8th report will give this market a push one direction or the other. In the overnight trade, Chicago and Kansas City are both a penny lower, while Minneapolis is trading unchanged. Cotton was a bit stronger yesterday, with March futures 21 cents higher for the day as they settle at 74.36. In the overnight trade, it's kind of been reversed, with spot cotton futures trading 27 points lower as I record this. Livestock futures had a split session yesterday. April live cattle finished the day up 25 cents, while March feeder cattle finished the session a nickel higher. Lean hogs gave up a little ground, with April lean hog futures down 32.5 cents for the day. Class 3 milk futures were higher once again, as the March contract was up 7 points for the day, settling out at $14.46. In the overnight trade, spot milk futures are trading an additional 2 points higher. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 8 cents lower at $2.18.05, while selects were up 43 cents as they settled at $2.13 even. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $1.70 lower for the day, closing out at $66.97. This has been...
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
I was definitely a skeptic at, joining Samaritan Ministries because I didn't understand it. I was used to the traditional system, so I was afraid.
I thought, what if this doesn't work? I mean, we're going to give up this whole concept of insurance, and we're going to trust God and His people? And I was like, yeah, well, of course.
What we pay every month is about 30% of what we were paying in insurance. And what we get back is so much more, financially, of course, but spiritually and with the care of the community, you can't touch it.
We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
There's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
Opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mike. Mike is calling us from West Virginia. Hey, Mike.
Sir, I'll begin by saying thank you. And my question is, what are your thoughts on the pros and cons of purchasing gold as an investment?
Yeah.
I'll get off the phone and let you answer.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. I'm not a big fan, Mike, of gold as an investment, and I'll give you some reasons. Now, I don't mind owning some of it. If you want to have a small percentage, a very small percentage, 5-7% into precious metals as a speculative commodity position, I wouldn't be totally against that. I only like physical. I would not want anybody to have any kind of precious metals that doesn't actually own the physical in their, doesn't have that in their possession. So that's one thing. I don't really understand why people own a great deal of gold. I can tell you, over and over, hundreds of people that I've heard from over the years that own gold IRAs, and they say it's the biggest mistake they've ever made. And now they're paying for storage. They can't sell it. They need money. They're trying to sell it. They have to sell it. They can't take it, to sell it, it costs a fee to sell it. So they've got to pay a sales charge, and they've got to get it. It doesn't produce any income. It doesn't pay any dividends. It is not, the greatest thing to have into retirement. If you want to buy some of it and leave it to your great grandchildren, it'll probably be worth something. It has had times where it's been 40 years between its last highs. I don't know why anybody would want an investment that would go that long. And if it does go that high, I was laughing just the other night. I saw a commercial for silver saying, you know, the last high for silver, and it's about ready to get there. That last high for silver lasted about 20 hours. I doubt that anybody had time to react upon it. It came screaming down every day after that. It was interesting because I owned some silver, and it was in 2013, and I sold it at $44 an ounce. I paid $13 for it. It went up to almost, it went up to $58 or something, so I didn't have to live with the slide down. I was able to do it very quickly as well, but not everybody can do that, and I didn't have very much. I had a small amount, but I, you know, now what I have, I don't care what it does because it's probably going to go to my grandchildren, and I don't have any money in it. You know, I got all my cost bases out and then some. So, but I'm not a big fan of it. It's just, it's not a tradable commodity. And I have seen sales charges on the way, you know, when you're selling out, that they don't tell you about as high as 40%. And I've had people call me and say it's as high as 60%. So look, and they say, well, you know, it's outperformed this. I can name 100 stocks off the top of my head, forget long-term, in the last 5 years that have well outperformed gold. And with a click of the mouse, you can sell it. So I just don't. I'm just not a big fan of it. I never have been. If I am going to hedge or protect against inflation, 15 years ago, I said I believe that oil is the real next the real great hedge to inflation. I still think that is true, even more so today. I'd rather own oil commodity than gold as a hedge against inflation. So, That's kind of where I am on it. So, but I'm glad you called. Thank you for that. I appreciate it, Mike. Let me go to Clifford. I guess Clifford from Texas. Hey, Clifford.
The Texas Veterans Land Board will loan me more than enough money to do it. They'll loan you money for hello.
Yeah, Clifford, you on?
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, I've had a question for a couple of several months now.
Okay.
And it's simple. Wouldn't it help our economy and our position with the Chinese if by policy we only, as a federal government, we only bought things made in America to the maximum extent possible?
Well, to make it a policy, a government mandate?
It's not in law, but in policy, as the maximum extent possible, the feds only buy things made in America.
Oh, the government buy only things made. Yeah. Well, I think that is already in the book of regulations for general services of the government. So they are already required to look at made in America. So that's been
part of the reason that came to mind is when I was military, my boots had stamped in it made in China.
Yeah, well, I know it is frustrating. My boots were made in America, and my uniforms. Okay. I'm reasonably certain of that, but I may be a lot older than you.
Right. So, not likely, but even our computer equipment, it has an American name on it, but many to most of them are made in China now.
Yeah, and that is true. And yeah, I mean, I think that it would be great if General Services and the government and the military would practice that on a regular basis. The problem is it's, you know, on most things and a lot of things, and I'm not just talking about China, I'm talking about other areas of the world, but as far as China goes, it's hard to buy almost anything that has an electronic capability to it that doesn't have a component that is not made in China. It's almost impossible. And I think that is part of the things, that's one of the reasons why all the concern about this president for China. The Chinese and others don't appreciate this president's attitude of America first. They just don't. They don't appreciate
it. That's an incentive for Dale and a few of the other ones to open up American factories.
It is.
I'm pretty sure there are a few companies here, and I'd be willing to pay the higher price and cater to them rather than to cater to people that, in truth, I consider it an enemy waiting for war.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And I know that when you look at Toyota, Volkswagen, BMW, Honda, you know, they have plants here in America, and they don't miss a beat. It works out fine because what's happened, and people forget this, I think American CEOs are coming to the realization and understanding that this isn't a labor issue anymore. Because what's happened with these foreign companies that come over here and build manufacturing here in America, one of their main concerns is an uninterrupted flow of cheap energy. And that's what we bring here in America. That has great, great value, not to mention the highest productivity of worker in the world. People don't realize that. We say, well, you know, isn't that China? No, China just has large numbers. So they have people that are, they might have 20 people because it's so inexpensive doing what we have three people doing because we have the greatest productivity in the world. And foreign companies are realizing that, particularly in the auto manufacturing and other areas, are starting to realize that. So, you know, I think that's something that I know the president would like to see. He talked about it on the stump when he was campaigning, and I believe it's still tucked away in his brain that is something that we ought to try to achieve. So I appreciate your weighing in on that, Don, and you make a great point, Clifford. I agree with you 100%. I think it is a very good point, and I would hope that there are great patriots and American people that would want to buy American in every possible way that they can, but it is, you know, it is getting harder and harder to do. So, but we need to be thinking about it, that is for sure. Listen, China is no friend of this country. I know that some want to believe that, but they're no friend of this country. And I just, if we look at nothing else, no other reason, you know, we have a Russia, China, North Korea alliance. And then if you separate and break it down a little bit further, Russia working to maintain and continue an alliance with Iran, Syria and other rogue nations and terrorist regimes. So they, you know, they have this illusion. It's why we talk about Venezuela. And I said this to Alan West, the shores of Venezuela is real estate that China, Cuba, Russia, Iran and others would love to get a piece of, would love to have. Can you imagine how easy it would be? This is why Cuba is such a strategic concern for the military, for the United States military. But when you think about how great it would be and easy it would be to for the countries that hate us to wage war upon us if they had the shores of Venezuela. You know, people say, well, Israel is going to just wipe Iran off the face of the map. Here's the problem. Iran can't get there and get back without refueling. That's the problem. And for a while there, they had a deal worked with Turkey. That went away, and they were working on a deal with Saudi Arabia. That went away, and now they're trying to, we need to rekindle that deal with Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia knows that Iran's never going to go after Israel without bombing Saudi Arabia first because they dislike Saudi Arabia almost as much as they do Israel. All right. Kelly Shackelford.
Are you over 50? related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now. 1-800-829-5685. That's 1-800-829-5685. 1-800-829-5685.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
It either is or it isn't. When it comes down to it, that's all that really matters when choosing a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. It's either certified by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians or it isn't. It's either backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years or it isn't. It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts or it isn't. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through February 28th, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Come in today and we'll help cover your first month's payment. Offer available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards, or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first month's payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Work today. Grow your money God's way.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. Sure, appreciate all of you being with us. As I mentioned earlier, we've got President CEO for First Liberty. You know how I feel about First Liberty. I talk about it all the time. This is one of those organizations that when we are thinking about being on the front lines and being in the battle, and we want to get in the battle and we want to participate in getting in the battle, you got to go to First Liberty. This is what we all should be supporting. And, you know, this is it's a great organization. Kelly Shackelford, his team on the front lines. Kelly, welcome. I'm glad you're with us.
No, it's a privilege to be on, Dan.
Kelly, one of the things that is in the news and we're talking and hearing a lot about is the American Legion case, and it's being watched very, very closely. And I know your team is arguing this case at the Supreme Court, I think the end of this month, right?
February 27th.
Tell us about the case and how important this is to our nation.
Well, this is a case about a veterans memorial that was put up almost 100 years ago by mothers who lost their sons in World War One and the American Legion. And it was to honor these 49 young men who died in World War One, of all races and backgrounds and just people who had died. And, of course, back then, you really couldn't fly. Most people couldn't certainly fly over to Europe to see the grave of their son, and so they put up this memorial in Prince George's County, which is Maryland, right outside of D.C. And it's a cross, and it says Valor and Courage, and it says the American Legion, and it was on American Legion land, and it sat there until 40 years later. This is outside of D.C., so they needed to build roads. So they, by eminent domain, they took the land, but they certainly were not going to disturb a veterans memorial, and so they built the road around the land, and so it's somewhat in the median. And then another 40 years or so later, the American atheists come forward and say, hey, wait, you can't have this cross on government property, and they filed a lawsuit. And we won at the district court. They said, we don't tear down veterans' memorials because they have a cross or a religious symbol. We got to the Court of Appeals, and our judges were two Obama appointees and one Clinton appointee. And one of the Obama appointees said, you know, if we just cut the arms off of the cross, won't that take care of all the problems? And so this was the mindset we were dealing with. And not surprisingly, the decision came down 2-1. The Clinton appointee dissented and said there's nothing wrong with this veterans memorial. We don't tear down veterans memorials because they have a cross. But he was outvoted. And so it was 2-1. It has now gone up the Supreme Court. And one of the reasons is because this would be horrible just for these families. I mean, their descendants are there saying, don't you dare tear this down. But it would be bad for veterans memorials all over the country, because every community of every state of this country has religious symbols in their cemeteries with the veterans memorials and these types of things. I mean, the bulldozing and sandblasting is beyond our wildest imagination of what is going to have to happen if this occurs. And as a great example, Dan, within the jurisdiction of this court that has already ruled is another cemetery. It's Arlington National Cemetery. If this is not overturned, they're going to have to go into Arlington and literally tear down the large freestanding crosses that are in Arlington Cemetery. The Cross of Sacrifice, the Argonne Cross, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier that says, known but to God. It's just unfathomable. And that's sort of the obvious first step. And I can go further into what this case means for all kinds of issues because of sort of the test or the legal analysis, and the fact that many people think now that we have five justices on the court who are more honed to following the Constitution, that they're actually going to maybe go back to the Constitution. So these silly attacks on veterans' memorials, on displays around Christmas, all these things maybe can be stopped in the future because of the bad interpretations that have occurred in the past.
Well, you know, Kelly, as I think about this, so I have 8 grandchildren under the age of 9. And to think just that there's just a mere thought that they're not going to be able to go to Arlington, you know, that it could get that far. And I think about how important this is for our heritage as Americans, that, and it's, I can't even imagine, I shudder to think or imagine what this is going to lead to and what this is going to open up. That this atheist group could win this fight. Now, I know you're not here for this. You're here because I asked you to talk about a couple of these cases. But, you know, this is why I'm just saying to all of our listeners, this is why this is what we have as evangelical Christians, as American patriots. We have First Liberty. The others have ACLU and American Atheist Groups and so on and so forth. We have First Liberty. And, you know, this is why we've got to fight. And one of the ways that we get into the fight is we support groups like this. I don't even want to sound a little bit, I'm just giving an example. But my wife and I believe it's really important that we support First Liberty, and we have for years, and we always will. And this is a Supreme Court argument, and I imagine, Kelly, that this is no easy task to prepare for, to have attorneys on hand, ready and fighting and preparing for what could be very long and drawn out. But this is the end of the line. We can't go any further than this. Every I has to be dotted.
Yeah, and I would tell, if they want it, by the way, if anybody wants to go look at the case, support the case, be, you know, in any, all the info, they can just go to First, you'd spell it out, First Liberty, firstliberty.org, and they can do that. Yeah, I mean, I look at this like this is a no-brainer getting involved with, because I really believe we're about to be a part of changing history. And that's what this case is. It's going to be a precedent that's going to be, you know, in the law books now. I mean, who knows, 20, 30, 40 years, it might be the case everybody is following. And it's important not only because of the Veterans Memorial and what it means to our Veterans Memorials all over the country, but it's also important because why are we here? We're here because of some really bad tests that were created by past courts that are leading to these absurd results. They're trying to interpret the Establishment Clause. And what the founders were trying to do with the Establishment Clause is they didn't want there to be a national church, and they didn't want any of us supporting a national church. The idea that they brought all these terms in now that aren't a part of the Constitution, you know, separation of church and state and all these other things, and they've twisted them to where now the government is almost hostile to religion, the founders would be appalled at that. That's never what they intended by the Constitution. So what we did in our briefs, in fact, is we said to the court, these tests you got are unworkable. They lead to just absurd results, and they're certainly not what the founders and the Constitution says. Let's go back to what the Constitution says. And so if the government's not coercing someone with regard to their religion, there's nothing wrong with religion in public. Our founders are fine with that. That's freedom. And so if we succeed in that, we could really change the culture in a major way and get back to what our country was really about from the very beginning.
And that's why this is a case that is so critical to America, to our heritage, to the Constitution. And it's something that we have got to step up and get involved in, and I hope everybody listening will. And this reminds me of how you are, you guys and your team are, I mean, how are you working to help make sure that we get judges on federal courts? These are lifetime appointees. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the things when, you know, our mantra or our mission is really advancing and, you know, religious freedom across the United States. And so we were preparing to do that for President Hillary Clinton before the election, and figuring out how we were going to do that under that administration. And when Trump got elected instead, we were surprised, and we said, all right, let's see what opportunities there are. And we've seen a number, really incredible opportunities to advance religious freedom, but one of the biggest is judges. There were 120 judicial seats waiting to be filled when the president took office, and he had stated publicly that he wanted to really change this approach on judges and get back to the, you know, people would say conservative, but I would just say judges who want to be judges and not politicians, who are going to constrain themselves to the Constitution, who are committed to doing that, and to really, you know, putting life into the First Amendment and preserving and protecting that. And that's what he's done, and we've helped on making sure we analyze all these picks, and that we give that information, that we make sure that the best pro, you know, First Amendment religious freedom judges are going on the court. And I've got to tell you, Dan, what we're seeing is beyond any. I can say obviously, I've never seen a quality of judges go onto the court that have been put on so far in the first 2 years. And there are now 160 seats waiting to be filled. And these are lifetime appointments. So every one of these people who go on, some of them are maybe 20, 30 years or more on the bench. This is who our grandkids are going to have as their judges. So you want to impact the long term on our freedoms and the Constitution. This is a really important matter. So we've done everything in our power to make sure that these judges are excellent, and I've got to say the administration has done a really good job. And you, everybody's seen it with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. I mean, Kavanaugh donated time with me on a religious liberty case 20 years ago. This is the guy who really cares about religious liberty. And so these are the kinds of people we're putting on the court. And again, I would tell people, if they go to firstliberty.org, one of the things we have right there on the front page is an analysis on what's going on with the judges. It shows them all the numbers, the seats that are open, who are being nominated, all that, so they can follow that if they want to.
Kelly, we appreciate so much what's going on. FirstLiberty.org, First, F-I-R-S-T, spelled out, FirstLiberty.org. And Kelly, we appreciate it so much. You know, we want to be a part in every way we can of protecting our religious freedoms. We were talking to Alan West at the last hour about all the things that we have got to get some feet to our faith and our patriotism and get to work. Kelly Shackelford, President, FirstLiberty.org. We sure appreciate you, Kelly. Thank you.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Tomorrow.
Why not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs? Christian Community Credit Union, your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Hey, welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. You know, great organization, First Liberty, and we're proud to have them as a friend of the ministry and so grateful for the work that they do. And it is such a blessing. Kelly Shackelford, his team, exceptional, all of them. Love the Lord, love the country, and fighting for all of us. And as instruments of God that we are, you know, we've got to get into that fight. And I hope all of you will pray about that and consider it. Great stuff. So I'm glad Kelly took some time. I saw an email in reference to this case, the American Legion case. As a veteran, and as someone that has had friends that has lost their lives, and seeing families, you know, I won't go into all the detail, and I'll probably get emotional, but I'll say that it holds a special place in my heart. That is for sure. And this country does, because, you know, as one of those that have had the privilege to fight for America, you know, we want to protect everything that every veteran is ready and stands ready to fight for, and every veteran that actually is fighting for it right now as we speak and has in the past, that we protect the incredible freedoms and country that we have. And I believe that there's a segment of young people, no fault of theirs, more fault of their schooling, but that doesn't have an awareness of just how great America is. And they all need to get in a plane and fly around the world a little bit and see and come back with a mindset. But we've got to do our part. And, you know, look, I never want to take away from your giving to your church. Because, see, we've got to keep church doors open. That's our job. You know, if we belong to a church that is standing firmly upon the gospel and preaching it soundly and lives are being saved, man, we got to support that. We've got to make sure the electric bill is paid and that pastor can continue to get up there at the pulpit and do that. That's our primary goal. But there's some great work of God being done every day. Work far greater than what we're doing here. But what we're doing here is to get you comfortable and to get your portfolio in a place that is honoring God, knowing that God is going to bless that. And the more comfortable you get, the more comfortable you're going to be giving to some of the great work that is going on around us of God. So we sure appreciate First Liberty and Kelly and his team. They're amazing people and the work that they do. But it is no easy task to be arguing a case in front of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. So we need to be praying for that team for February 27th and the argument of that case. And we'll get an update. We'll get an update from Kelly or somebody on the team as soon as that argument has been made. All right. 844-707-5533. Let me go right back to phones. Let me go to John. John calling us from Virginia. Hey, John.
How you doing, sir? A second ago, you were speaking to a gentleman about gold.
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned something about oil commodities.
Yes, sir.
How does one go about purchasing oil? Do you do it the same way you do stock, like through Schwab or something?
Well,
or
I mean, there's...
Do you go through a company?
Yeah, so when we think about oil and what, you know, to buy oil, so when I say that oil is the hedge against inflation, meaning, you know, that oil is going to go up, that kind of hurts us because prices at the pump could go up as well, but will likely go up, so that kind of hurts us. But at the same time, we can hedge our portfolio by owning some of it. And some of that might be you own ConocoPhillips stock. A stock's going to go up. I'm just picking one. But, you know, oil companies, that's one way. The other thing is you can own oil, but to own the oil commodity, the actual oil, you probably are going to have to do that through an oil commodity ETF. There are some that are some out there. I don't talk about them because they're not biblically responsible, because they're made up of oil companies that are not biblically responsible, and you would own a piece of that. So I stay away from those. But I think one of the best ways you do that, easiest way you do it, is to own the companies, the guys that are producing and selling and putting into reserves the oil itself, because that oil is going to become inflated. So are other commodities. There's a broad base of oil of commodities. I do have one ETF on my website that is made up of oil, and copper is another good, you know, some other commodities, even ag commodities that obviously will be somewhat of a hedge in the sense of inflation and a rising inflation time. So, you know, if you're going to own the physical order, you're going to own it by way of owning a lot of the commodities, the commodity companies that are engaged in oil, buying oil, selling oil, the crude oil itself. And you can do that.
Yes, sir.
You can go to your broker, and there's some ETFs and oil commodities that you can buy.
Okay, I'm a partner in your partnership, and I've gotten a couple of ideas from you, and I've, I'm pretty lucky so far going following you. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Sure.
But like one of the ones that you suggest or recommend is like a pipeline type company that does like gas and so forth. Would that be along the same lines?
Yeah, so yeah, it would be, but it's not going to benefit like the company as well. So that's on the transportation side. So they are transporting the oil that has now become inflated, that is more valuable, but they won't participate in it in the same way because they're going to be, it's still, you know, they're going to be limited as what to what they can charge to move the oil. It's the ownership of the oil that is going to have the biggest benefit.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, John. I sure appreciate you. God bless. Let me go to Don. How much time we got? Let me go to Don. Don's calling us from Florida. Hey, Don.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You got a question, John, or Don, or a comment?
I was a statement.
Okay.
Actually, the previous president of the United States was the illegitimate or bastard son of a communist, Soviet communist agent named Frank Marshall Davis. And the mama was the rebellious teenager daughter, of an FBI agent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, go ahead, I'm just waiting to get to your point here, I'm running out of time. Go ahead.
Well, if you wondered why there's been so much increase of a communist push in the government,
mm-hmm.
because all the judges he appointed were or have become communists.
Yeah, well, look, one of the problems that we have in the country is the appointees of that progressive left. There's no doubt about it. But now we are on the other side of that and have an opportunity. We've got 150 right now waiting for appointees. And I said back 2.5 years ago, the last presidential election, I said, this is why it's so critically important that we have this president. And I said, it doesn't matter whether you like him or not. I never asked that question because it became somewhat irrelevant. What relevancy came from this president was the fact that I believed that he was telling the truth, and we now know that to be fact, that he was going to change the face of the Supreme Court and all these district courts with his appointees. And when he published, this was well before he was elected, his list of judges, I became more convinced than ever that he was very serious about getting America back on track. And I believe that's exactly what he has done so far and is making an effort to do it. One of the problems is, and this is controlled by the Senate, fortunately, his agenda is still controlled in the Senate, but we lost the House of Representatives, but we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to support the appointment of those judges. Very critically important. Thank you. I sure appreciate your comments. Folks, we got another hour left. Cue your call up. We'll get to your questions. You might have some financial questions that are critical to you. Let's get them answered. And if you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, all that we have is His. It's all the Lord's. We will stand before Him. Make no mistake about it. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. More financial issues right after this.
if we ever forget.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.